We begin the current daf, Masechtas Kiddin, daf Pei Zayin. We begin on the bottom of daf Pei Vav and Beis, two lines up at the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to explain our Mishnah of the previous daf. And that is, in the Seifa of the Mishnah, we learned the following halacha. It said, Chamisha Shekasvu Klal Chulu, etc., which the Mishnah there says, regarding if there's five people that wrote a communal get, where, as the Mishnah explains, they write that Ish Plaini, Megarish Plainis, that guy is divorcing that woman. Uplaini Plainis, that man is divorcing that woman. And then after all those people had written their who they're divorcing, the Ve'edim Almata, the witnesses were on the bottom of all those names, says the Mishnah Kulan Kasher in the old Kasher, V'inoslo Kolachas V'achas, and then you give that communal get to each and every one of those women. But said the Mishnah, Ha'yukaisiv Toifas Kolachas V'echad, however, if each one had its own separate text, which that's why our Gemara is going to come to address what does that mean, Va'edim al-mat, and then the witnesses are still on the bottom, then Esha Edim Nikrin Ma'ikasha, then only the ones that are right before the witness is signed, that's going to be the get that's going to be valid, that man divorcing that woman. But all those higher up ones that are written earlier are not going to be valid get. So that's how our Gemara comes to explain, Hechadim Iklau, what is the case that our Mishnah said that if it's written in this general way, this communal get, then all those, let's say, five men divorcing those five women are going to be valid getting, and you can give that piece of paper to each one of those women. And Hechadami Taifasa, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that each one has an individual text to say that then only the last one, who his text is written last, and the witnesses are assigned beneath him, then that's going to be the one that's a valid get, but all the early ones are not going to be valid. So it's a machlekes. Amar Biechan, he explains as follows. He says, Zman Echad Lekulan, if there was one date on the top for all of them, and then each one did not write a separate date, and then you have witnesses signed at the bottom, Zeho Klal. That's a general, a communal get. All of them are being included there between the date and the witnesses, so everything in between is in this one thing. So the Edom are signed on everything, it's going to be kosher. But Zman Lekol Echad V'Yechad, but if each one has its own individual date, so you have a date for the top, then a date for the next one, each one has its date. Oh, Zehu Taifas. That means each one is like its own separate text. So when the witnesses are being signed, they're only signing on the last get because each one is individual. They're separated by virtue of having their own date. So therefore, the witness is only on the last one, not on the earlier ones. They're only the last one is going to be kosher. That's Rabbi Yechon's interpretation. Vresh Lakish Amar, he says, as we continue the type of Pezayin and Aleph, says, Afilas Manechel Kulon. He's actually even more stringent. He says that even if there's one date for all of them, which according to Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation now was a klal, he says, Nami Havetoifis. He says, no, that would also be considered that each one has its own individual text, where the upper ones would be possible, would be invalid. Now, the reason being is because since each one is mentioned separately, his name divorcing his wife, so each one is essentially its own get. So it comes out that the last one is separating between the signing of the witnesses and the earlier ones. So essentially, the witnesses are only testifying on the last get. So, then how do you have the categorization of what the Mishnah says, a general get? Well, yeah, of course, you're saying the name. So each one, if you're saying that it's even if it's one date, so then how are you going to have the case of the Mishnah that said that the communal get will work for all of them? So that explains Rish Lakish, the custom is because it's where they wrote Anu plainly uplainly garash nishasenu plainness uplainness, where they wrote in this communal vernacular, where they wrote us, the men, and they wrote all the men's names, are divorcing our wives, and they wrote all the women's names. Where there, obviously, it's all being included together. We know that what they're testifying here on this piece of paper is not each one separate, and then the last one is going to have the witnesses signed on that one. That's if you didn't write this communal terminology. But if you wrote this whole thing that we are divorcing them, so then you see it's all together. Then when the witness has to sign, they're signing on all them together. That's Machlekes Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. Now, Maskev L'Rababa, Rababa asked the following question. He says, L'Rabbi Yechon, according to Rabbi Yechon's interpretation, Dama that he said, Zman Ech L'Kulon, Zehu Klal, he said, as long as you have one date on the top that's for all of them, that's considered a general get, and therefore the witnesses are signing on all of them and they're all going to be kosher. But Rabab is bothered by the fact that is seemingly what really was Rish Lakish's opinion, that is since each man and woman are written separately, so then why are they all kosher? Leichish Dilma Kichas Musahadi, we should be concerned that maybe when the witness is signed, Abbasu de Chasimi, they're really only signing on the last one. And so although there's one date, but could be their sani on the last one. Mi leitanya, didn't we learn in the Braisa that says, Edim chasumin al she'ilah sholem beged, if you have a get, and then the bottom it says about how the husband wanted that they should go ahead and inquire how somebody's doing, which is called she'ilah sholem, ask him how he's doing, beged on the get, possible, the get is possible, why? We're concerned that maybe what are the witnesses signing on? Not on the get, which is written on the top, but in the last thing mentioned, which was just about inquiring how someone's doing. It's that they signed on, and not on the get. So you see that the last thing that's there, maybe that's what they're signing on. So even in Rabbi Yechonon's case, even though there's one date, but how do you know that they're signing on all the previous ones? Maybe they're only signing on the last one, which said that plainly number five is divorcing plainness number five. So why the old kasha? So that the Gemara answers, no, lavit ma'lo, didn't we explain in exactly in that halacha, that braisa, that Amr Bavo, he said, to me was explained the name of Rabbi Yechonon, and this is good because we're told about Rabbi Yechonon's own opinion, that shalu, that if it says there at the end of the get, it says that inquire how someone's doing, yes, that's what the braisa is saying, that puzzle. Then the get's going to be puzzle because that is its own individual statement, there's a get, I read in Tesla Chaladim, it says all the things. And then it says, inquire how someone else is doing. So it's its own statement. That's interrupting between the witness's signature and the get. And could be that's only going back on the Shilah Shalom, not on previously what's on the get. But Vishalu Kasha with a Vav and inquire how the other how these people are doing, then that get's going to be Kasher because obviously what they're signing on is on addendum. It says, and inquire. What do you mean, and? They're signing that not just what was said before, that also regarding the inquiry. So that's a case where the Brice would agree that the get would be kosher. So says the Gemara, Hochenami, here's also the same thing. The case that Rabbi Yechonon is describing in our Mishnah of the klal that's going to be kosher, all the five divorces, is yes, even though he didn't write a communal terminology, but how do you know the witness is not only the last one? Because it says, plainly, uplainly, uplainly, each one, including the last one, says, and this guy divorcing that woman. So if he's signing on that, it's an and, which is connected to one before, connected to one before, connected to one before, and that's why, according to Biechan, then they're all going to be kosher. Fine, that answers that question. But the Gemara continues as Vesu. But another difficulty is, according to Biechan's interpretation, the Amar Zman Lekalecha, that he says that if each one has its own individual date. Now, as Rashi explains, the Gemara's questioner assumes that if they're each having their own date, means to say that each one was actually written on a different date. Meaning, let's say this husband lives there and that one lives there. So, you know, whoever's arranging this whole thing of getting these five people to divorce their wives, he goes one date to here. It takes him a few days to get to the other guy. So each one has its own date. So the problem is, ask the Gemara, contra Biechen, that he says that when is it, regarding the case of Toifis Lekalechem, which we said that it's not considered the klal. That's when each one has its own date, Zehu Taifis. That's the case of when we consider them separate. And that's why the higher ones are going to be puzzle, because could be the witnesses only signed on the bottom one. Ask the Gemara, my area, why did you have to say that the upper ones are going to be puzzle? Mishum Taifis, because they're considered separate texts. And the witnesses are maybe not read with them because there's a separation. It's only on the last person that's divorcing his wife, not on the previous ones, because again, the fact that they have different dates separates it. Ask the Gemara, v'tebikalei dehavalei, but you should say that all of the divorces, all the men divorcing the women, besides the last one, are going to be possible for a different reason. Because nechtem b'yayim and nechtem b'alaylo, they're going to be written during one day and signed at a later point in time. Because the witness is only signed after the last one was written that he's divorcing his wife. The other ones had earlier dates which were written in times before. Now, as Rashi points out, it's not necessarily that it was written by day and signed at night. It's just because this is the terminology of the mission that we had on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph that says that even if it was written on day and just some an hour later, which was already nighttime, it was signed, it's going to be possible because it has to be in the same halachic day. Well, for sure it's going to be possible, but it's written on the next day or on a later day. So essentially what the Gemara's question is, why say that you're defining when the early ones are possible, Rabbi Yechonon? Because they have a separate date, so that individuates them, it separates them, so maybe the witnesses are only signing on the last one, but that's going to be possible for a whole different reason than anyway. It's because even if it was not separating, it would be possible, because Nechta Bayam and Nechta Balayla, it was written at an earlier date and signed only after the last one, which is a later date. So Amalei Mar Kashisha Berida of Chizla Vashi says, no, this is what they said in the name of Rabbi Yechonon. Dechsibu b'chad b'shaba b'chad b'shaba. It was written that this guy divorces his wife on Sunday. Then it was written that on Sunday, that same Sunday, this guy's divorcing that woman. In other words, they are all the same date. This that it says that they had zman l'chol echad just said that the date was written on each one's line separately. But the earlier one's not going to be possible because of that they were signed, they were written earlier than the signatures. They're actually all written on the same day and signed in that same day. So that's what Rabbi Yechonon said, that the psul is only going to be because of a hafsaka, because of it had taifiz l'chol echad, which again he defines as having its own zman, but because of nechta b'yayim and nechta b'layla, it would not be possible because they actually were all written and signed on that same day. Now the Gemara asks on the other interpretation. Amalei Ravina Ravashi says, L'Resh Lakish, according to Resh Lakish, Darmar Zman Echa L'Kula Nami Toifes Hava, he says that even if it has one date on the top, all these, he's divorcing her, then the witness signed at the bottom, still Resh Lakish holds, not like Rabbi Yechonon, that's going to be pasul. Now, V'Hechadu Miklal, so he says, so what's considered that it is considered a general communal get, which it will be kosher. We know that witnesses are signed on all of them. The Chassid Be'achi, when they wrote like this, that Onu Plainu Plaini, us the men, Girashnu Nishaseinu Plainu Zaplainu, are divorcing our wives and writing all the women's name. That's a klal. That way you know for sure the witnesses are signing all of them because that's how they wrote it. We're all in this together. Now, however, that Asra Avino Nimtzu comes out according to Rish Lakish's version of the klal. That shtei noshim miskarshes beget echad, that really two women are being divorced with the same get. I mean, it's like a communal get. We, the men, are divorcing the women. Now, v'atayr amav, the problem is the Torah says, v'chasav la, in the lashon yachid, in the singular, you should write for her, v'loy lo ulechaverta. A get cannot be written for her and for her friend. Each woman has to have her own get. But according to Rish Lakish, the only way this halach is kosher over here is when they're all doing it together. And therefore, it's turning out that this get is divorcing not one woman individually, but it's divorcing five women together at the same time. But that's invalid. So the Gemara explains, though, the hadar kasav, according to Rish Lakish, yes, you wrote the communal vernacular, but you also then subsequently wrote plain negirish plainness, uplain negirish plainness. You wrote the whole individual thing that each one is really getting its own individual text. And she's getting divorced singularly from that part of the text. But however, it still helps the communal terminology, which was written originally, to tell us that which answered that question, which how do we know the witnesses are signing on all of it? That's what helps to say that us, the men, are divorcing the women, so we know that the witnesses are verifying what it was written here, which was they're all doing this together, and it's not just going in the last one. But essentially, the actual divorce, you're right, is happening only with each one's individual singular text that he writes to his wife, where it says plainly girish with plainness, because, one woman cannot be divorced together with another woman with the same get, so each one's having it separately, but again, each one is doing its own feature, which the Lashon Rabbim is doing it just to confirm that the witnesses are on all of them. Now, however, on this conversation, the Gemara asks, Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi. Now, so Ravina asked Ravashi, so then why is this any different than what we learned in the following Braisa? The Braisa says, if someone writes away all his assets to his two slaves, these are his slaves, they helped him, these two slaves, he's saying, you guys, you can have all my stuff. So the halacha is, and the Braisa says, kanu, they acquire all his stuff, and they then free each other, because now they both own everything and they're both slaves. So they're both masters of each other, so they go ahead, they both split it, and now they free each other, and now they can split the master's assets. Now, the question is that the halachas of Eved, and its shichra, of emancipating a slave, is learned out where it says the word la by the shifcha, and it says la by an isha. We learn out the halachas of shichra from the halachas of gerishin. Now, the problem is, here we don't say that it's possible because la v'loy l'chaverta, where seemingly it's the same type of a case, where here he's freeing both of them at the same time. Where essentially this is similar to Rish Lakish's first case, when he said that Anu Plainu Plaini, us, the men, Girashnu Shaseinu Plainu Plaini, we're divorcing our wives, the women. It's the same thing, where he's saying that he's emancipating his two slaves at the same time. It's like the men divorcing their women at the same time. So the question is, which was Ravashi's answer, why is it really true, like you answered, that then he has to go ahead, the men, and subsequently have to write individually, plainly girish plainness, and plainly plainness. But here, seemingly, That wasn't done. Here he just wrote, Kol nichsei l'ploini ploini av. They wrote on the document, all my assets are given to this and this of my slaves. And the Brisa says clearly that they acquire all his assets. So it comes out that each one is a half a free man, half a slave to his friend. And that's why we said that each one frees the other half that he owns in his slave. And seemingly it's not a problem of love loy l'chaverta. You answered that, yeah, love loy l'chaverta is a problem. That's why you had to explain your Shlakish's case, that you didn't just write this general, you had to write the general vernacular. But you then also have to say each one individually. But why? Why by Shichur don't you have to write each one individually? They're seemingly just saying a general text, emancipating both at the same time, works. But don't we know the halachas of Shichur and the halachas of Gerishin? So the Gemara answers, that's not a question for the Braisa at all. Because of Lava Kimna, didn't we explain in Perek HaShaleach Ged that that's not talking about when he wrote one Shtar Shichur for both of them at the same time? That rather it's talking about B'shnei Shtaris, where he wrote two documents. In each one he wrote, all my assets is going to this slave. Then he also wrote a second document where he wrote that all my assets are going to that other slave. And he gave it to them at the same moment, where neither one came first. Because if any one of them would have came first, he really would have gotten it all. The other one wouldn't have gotten anything. So that's why he said that both of them acquire all of it together, where they each get half, because each one's saying that all of it is mine. And he's saying all of it is mine. And they're essentially correct, because it happened at the same time. So that's why they split it. But you're right, if it was in one document, of course it wouldn't help, because that would be a problem of law. V'lo l'chaverta, again, then you would have had to done, like we explained for Reish Lakish, that then to delineate each one individually, because you cannot emancipate two slaves at the same time in the same document, just like you can't do Gerishin, two women at the same time in the same document. That's where I have to say that you write separately, plain the Gerish plainness, and plain the Gerish plainness. Skin, that's Machlekes Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish, how to define the halacha of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Tani Kavaseh Rabbi Yechonin, we have a Braisa that says like Rabbi Yechonin, and Tani Kavaseh Reish Lakish, we have a Braisa that says like Reish Lakish, as the Gemara explains. Tani Kavaseh Rabbi Yechonin, we have a Braisa that says like Rabbi Yechonin's interpretation, halacha of our Mishnah, about what's a klal, which is kosher, and what's each one's separate teifetz, which is pasul, where the Braisa says, Chamisha shekasu b'teich haget. If five men write inside one get, ish pleini megarish pleinis, this man's divorcing that woman, upleini pleinis, that man, that woman, upleini pleinis, that man, that woman. Now, v'zman echad l'kulon, each one had, that there's one date for all of them, there's only one date on the top, v'edim al-matim, witnesses on the bottom, says the Braisa, kulon kisherim, they're all kasher, v'tinas l'kol achas v'achas, and give it to each one individually, that's like Rabbi Yechonin. Because the Braisa here doesn't say that for it to be kasher, all five, you have to say, like Reish Lakish said, onu pleinu pleinu gerashin, that us, the men, are divorcing the women. So you see, this Braisa says like Rabbi Yechonin. The Braisa continues, however, v'zman l'chol echad v'echad, but if each one has its own date, V'edim al-mata, and the witnesses are only one witnesses on the bottom. So then, as our Mishnah said, Esha Eidin Nekro in my kosher, only the last one, which the witnesses are read with the previous man who's divorcing, that's the one that's going to be kosher, but the previous ones are pasul. So that's like Rabbi Yechonin's interpretation. He argues on the Tanakam, he says, Im yesh revach b'nein pasul. It's only if there's a space between them, then the previous ones are going to be pasul. But vim lav, but if there's no space, even if, let's say, each one has his own individual date, then actually all of them are going to be kosher. She'ein's man mafsikon, because he disagrees with the Tanakhama, and he says that the date, separate dating, does not interrupt each one from the witnesses in the bottom. So as long as there's no space, there's no open space left open that there's no writing on, then he holds that it's going to be kosher. That's the Brais Lek Rabbi Yechonin. Tanika Vaseid Reish Lakish, we learned in the Brais Lek Reish Lakish, that says, Chamisha shekasvu klal b'teich haget. If five people wrote a general statement in a get, which is, again, like Reish Lakish, Anu pleinu pleinu gerashin nishaseinu pleinu suplainis. Us, the men, saying Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, we divorce our wives, Leah, Rachel, Sarah, all the different names, where, again, like Reish Lakish had said it. And then, moreover, as we answered before, it was also written, then individually you had to do that because you have a problem of v'loy l'chaverta. So plain the girish plainness, this man's divorcing that woman, or plain the girish plainness, that man divorcing that woman. V'zman ech l'kulon, and there's one date for all of them. V'edim al-matin, you have the witnesses on the bottom. So kulon k'sherin, they're all kosher, but t'nasa kol achas v'achas, then you can give it each one individually. Again, that's how Reish Lakish had said, which was the klal, which is kosher, when you wrote in this universal terminology. Now, says the Braises, man l'kol echad v'echad, but if each one has its own individual date, and v'revach l'kol echad v'echad, moreover, there's also space between them, v'edim al-mata, and the witnesses are only on the bottom, then esha edim l'kurim m'kosha, then only the last one that's signed with, that's the case of teifetz l'kol echad v'echad, then that one's going to be kosher, the previous ones are going to be pasul. Remeyoim, he says, afa pisha ein revach b'neim pasul, that even if there's no space between them, it's going to be pasul. Again, shazman mafsikan, because just having separate dates will interrupt the previous ones from the signature of the witnesses. I mean, the last one's going to be its own thing, and therefore the witness is only going to validate the last one. Now, so definitely the first part of this braisa supports Rish Lakish the way he defined the halach of klal. What the Gemara is bothered by is, but Rish Lakish, my irium, why is it that from this braisa that's supporting him, when it's talking about seemingly the case of the where doesn't they don't all work, only the last one's going to be kosher, which seemingly is the case of Taifas kol echad ba'echad, zman l'kol echad v'echad, why does the braisa say to say when they're all going to be pasul is because each one has its own date, only then is the last one going to be kosher? The problem is, according to Rish Lakish, even if each one does not have its own date, still the upper ones are going to be pasul. Because ha'amar zman echad l'kul, and because Rish Lakish, what he said before, that even if there's one date on the top, nami toifes hava, it's still going to be, each one's going to be separate, meaning as long as you didn't say klal, this anu, the us, the ben, even if, let's say, just one date, it's going to be pasul. So why does it say that in the sefer that when's it going to be pasul is when you have each one having its own individual date? Because as the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara's assumption is that each one's its own separate case, and that the sefer was talking about the case of Toifas Kol Echad Ve'Echad. That the Gemara answers that no, it's actually one big case. Now, says the Gemara, Hanemili, when did we say that it's going to be all of them are pasul besides the last one, even if there's only one date in the top? That's hechadulay arvinum ikara. That's only if they weren't all joined together from the beginning, meaning in this communal statement of us, the men, divorcing them, the women. So then when they weren't mixed together, then yeah, it's going to be possible no matter what you do, because Rosh Lakish said it's only kosher if you had this communal joining. Aval hacha, but here the Gemara explains, they are vinu me'ikara, where they were already mixed, they were already joined together, because as we learned, where this that it says in the Sefer that each one has its own individual date, the Gemara is explaining, is that you, because you had already written as the Reisha had said, you already said Anu Plainu Plainu Girashin Neshenu Plainu Simplainu. You already wrote that us to men are divorcing the women, and then you wrote individually that this man's divorcing that woman on Sunday, and this man's divorcing that woman on Sunday. So since they're already joined together, that's what the Gemara explains. E Paligluhu Zman in. Only then, since you're already joined, you really have the halach of klal. But if you go ahead, says Rish Lakish, and you do have separate dates, then yes, he would agree to like Rabbi Yechanan, where that would separate the early ones from the last one, and then the upper ones would be pasul. But Eloi, but if you didn't go ahead then and separate them with separate dates, then Loi, then they're not separate, because again, since you already said, Anu, us the men, are divorcing them the women, so then it's going, they're all going to be kosher, because yes, Rish Lakish that says that even one date is going to be a problem is only if you didn't write Anu, because then you didn't have the halach of klal. But again, if you had klal already, if you already had anu, then that's what the sefer is saying. Even then, it could be possible. How so? If you had each one having individual dates, that will separate even according to Rish Lakish, and then it's going to be possible. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, that it depends, very important, critical, where the witness is signed. How do we know what it is that they're signing on, and what are the ramifications of that? So the Mishnah says, Shnei gitin shiksoven zeh b'tzad zeh. You have two gitin, two divorce documents that are written side by side on the width of a same scroll. Now, v'shnayim edim ivrim. Two of the witnesses are signed as Hebrews sign, which are boim mitacha zeh, which they're coming from beneath one get, from the one on the right, l'tacha zeh, and it extends to beneath the get on the second one. How so? Because the way it's generally signed is that it says that Ruvain ben Shimon Eid. So what we're talking about over here is that the first one signed his name beneath the first get on the right, and that extended all the way to beneath the second get where he wrote the son of his father's name. So to the second witness signed beneath him the same thing. And then they came, and then they signed beneath them were Bishnaim Eidim, were two Jewish witnesses, Yevanim, which they live in Greece, and they signed in the Greek, which is boi mitacha zeh l'tacha zeh, that also extended from beneath one to the other, which in the Greek way, in the same idea, but actually the other way around. In other words, because as Rashi explains, the way they sign in Greek is not the way exactly as it's signed in the Hebrew. Because actually, when a Jewish person signs, when it's signed in Hebrew, Yosef ben Shimon, you know that the son is Yosef and the father is Shimon. But when they, in Greek, when they sign Yosef ben Shimon, you actually know the opposite. You know that it's Shimon ben Yosef. Because the way you define in Greek, when they write Yosef ben Shimon, it means to say Yosef ben, meaning the son of Yosef, is Shimon. So it comes out that the name of the witness is signed beneath the second get, and his father's name is signed beneath the first one. So therefore, obviously, that the Greek are signing beneath the second one. So essentially, seemingly, it should seem like that it should be, both should be kosher gets. The ones on the right have the witnesses signed on them. It's just their father's name are extending beneath the second one. And then beneath that, you have two witnesses signing in Greek, where it also says, let's say, Yosef ben Shimon. So although it seems like that they're both signing on, all four are signing on the right, it's not true because that Yosef ben is actually their father's name, and the primary signatures, which are their own names, is actually beneath the left one. So therefore, you have two Hebrew signing on the right and two Jewish people signing in Greek on the left. However, in spite of this, says the Mishnah, Esha Eidim Rishonim Nikrim Imai Kosher. The get, which has the first witnesses signed with them, are going to be kosher. In other words, if let's say you have, as the case in Amish described, that the ones who are signing in the Hebrew are the ones that signed first on the top, so then the right one's going to be kosher. If the ones signing in Greek were the first ones to sign, and then beneath them were the ones signing in Hebrew, the two lines after them, then actually the left one's going to be kosher. Because again, the one signing in Greek, Yosef ben Shimon, is really Shimon ben Yosef, and their names are written beneath the left one, so that's going to be kosher. The Gemara is going to ask, why is it that the other one's going to be pasul? Seemingly, you have two valid witnesses for both the right, which are Hebrew writing people, and you have two valid ones for the left, which are two Greek writing Jewish people. That's one case in the Mishnah. Mishnah says, of let's say, Eidechad Ivrivi, Eidechad Yevani. Let's say that for one of them you have a Hebrew writing and a Greek writing witness, and on the other one you have Eidechad Ivrivi, Eidechad Yevani, and you also have one Hebrew and one Greek writing witness, which are also boin mitacha zeh l'tacha zeh, which extend from beneath one to the other one, which Rashi defines this case as follows. He says that you have the Hebrew writing and the Greek writing witness, which are extending from the right, the get on the right, to the get on the left. Now, and then you have beneath them is also the Hebrew and the Greek one, which are starting from the left and are extending to the right. What would that case be? So for example, if let's say the first Greek witness signed starting on the left one, he wrote Yosef on the end of that row, on the second row, which is beneath the left get. Then he wrote Ben Shimon on the beginning of the row after that, which is beneath the right get. So it comes out that actually that his name, which in Greek they always write their name after their father's name, is actually written beneath the right get. Because again, that's how we explain their signatures when, although it says, it's really saying that the son of Yosef is Shimon. So it comes out that beneath the right get, it's extending to the left get, which that's where his father's name on the left, and his name is on the right. So you have two signatures, the Hebrew and the Greek, signed on the right one. Now, the Hebrew witness, the second one, he goes and signs his name beneath the left one at the end of the line, and his father's name under the right one, which is in the beginning of the line after that. So he's signing now on the left one, because when he signs Yosef ben Shimon, it's really Yosef ben Shimon. So he has Yosef signed on the left one. So it comes out that it's coming from that beneath the second get to the first get. So really his name's on the second one. Then the second Greek one signs beneath him the way he usually signs on one line. So for example, you have Yachzeel ben beneath the first get and Naphtali. So Yachzeel ben Naphtali, Naphtali is beneath the second get. So it comes that his own name is signed on the second one, because that's how they sign. When they write Yachzeel ben Naphtali, Naphtali is really his own name. So essentially you really have two witnesses that are on the right one, and then the next two are really on the left one. In spite of that, says the Mishnah, Shneim Pasulim. Here actually they're both both gittin are going to be possible. And the Gemara is explaining what's the reason for that. Essentially, seemingly, the way we just described it, it should be kosher, where again, we described it in a case that really comes out that the two, first two are signing on the right, and the second two are signing on the left. So the Gemara asks first regarding the Reisha. We said in the Reisha's case, when you have two Hebrew writing witnesses on the first two, which are seemingly on the right, and then you have two Greek Jewish witnesses signing after that, which are seemingly going to the left. So we said that the first two, because if it's the reverse, it would be the same thing, if the first two were the Greek and then the second two were the Hebrew, the first two witnesses that are signed, whichever one is going on, that's the one that's going to be kosher. And the next two witnesses that are signing on the other get is going to be pasul. And that asks the Gemara, why? List kosher, let actually both of them be kosher. Now, for example, let's say we're talking about in the Hebrew writing one. That's the case that the Mishnah describes. Hi, the right one should be kosher b'Ruvain, with the name of Ruvain. The high and the left one b'Ben Yaakov, aid with the writing of the son of Yaakov, the witness should be kosher. In other words, both of them should be kosher, the right get and the left get, not because of all four witnesses, meaning the two sets of witnesses, but actually just from the first set of witnesses, from the two witnesses. Why? Because when they usually sign their name, they write Ruvain ben Yaakov, aid. Shimon ben Yaakov, aid. Now, if the way it's written that we describe the case, that it extends from the first get to the left get, so then you have Ruvain on the right one, and you have ben Yaakov, aid, on the left one. So Reuven is his name, that should kosher the right one, and Ben Yaakov Eid, as the Gemara will explain, is also a valid way of signing. So that should, like, in other words, we should like split up his name and show that as if there's a Reuven and there's a Ben Yaakov, and let's say it's even the same person, but he's signing on both the first get and the second, let them both be kosher. Because D'Artanan, we learn in the Mishnah later on this parak that says, Ben Ish Pliny Eid kosher. If someone just writes, the son of that man is signing as a witness, it's a valid signature, it's a valid witness. So therefore, Reuven is his name, so that should validate the right one. When he writes Ben Yaakov Eid, it's on the second one, so that should kosher the second get. Why is the second get possible? So now the Gemara explains, you're right, that would be valid, because that would be this same guy Reuven, who's signing Reuven on the right one, Ben Yaakov Eid on the second one, would validate both, but it's talking about the cuss of Reuven Ben, he didn't split up that way. It's written Reuven the son, Akama on the first get, the Yaakov Eid, and then the second half of his sentence, Yaakov Eid was Abasa on the second one. So therefore, that's not going to be valid. Because here's not Ben Yaakov Eid, it's Yaakov Eid. And you have Reuven Ben on the first one. So obviously it's one long sentence, which is really starting from the right one, so the right one's kosher and the left one's going to be pasul. The Gemara asks on that interpretation too. Why? For the kosher hai b'Reuven Ben, let the right one be kosher when he writes Reuven Ben, which would sound like that I am the son of Reuven. Reuven Ben means I am the son of Reuven. Actually, the way we describe the way the Greek actually signed. When the Greek signed Reuven ben Shimon, it's not Reuven the son of Shimon. It's Reuven's son who is Shimon. So maybe here also, maybe Reuven ben is the son of Reuven. So that should kasher the right one. V'les kasher hai be Yaakov Eid, and let the left one be kasher. We're just writing Yaakov's Eid, because that's who's signing on beneath the second one. It's a different guy who his name is Yaakov. Yaakov the Eid. That's not because you learned in the coming mission that says, Ish Pliny Eid, if you just write this person, meaning his name, let's say Yaakov, who's an Eid, is kosher. So why is that, even the way you just described it, even if you write Reuven Ben on the right one, and Yaakov Eid on the second one, that should also be kosher. Because Yaakov Eid is valid, as we see, and Reuven Ben should also be kosher, because we should interpret that to mean the son of Reuven. And here it's talking about a different guy, who's Yaakov. So that the Gemara answers two interpretations. Either the Leikosav Eid, either that on the end of a sentence, when he wrote Reuven ben Yaakov, so Reuven ben was on the right side and Yaakov on the left side, he didn't finish that word with the word aid, where the coming Mishnah was specific when it said that if it says Ish Pliny, just his name, and aid, it has to be that if you didn't write Pliny ben Pliny, if you write Reuven ben Yaakov, that's valid. And that's the way we describe in the Gemara's case, where he wrote Reuven ben and then Yaakov, where obviously it's one long sentence, where that's kosher. But if you didn't write the son of, the person named the son of a person's name, rather wrote a name, there the coming Mishnah is only saying it's valid if you write the guy's name and the word aid. If you just write one name without the son of, then it's not going to be kosher, and here he didn't write the word aid, so therefore it must be one long name, and therefore it's only the right one that's kosher. The Ibaisim, if you want, you could say, Loilam the Kosav Eid, it could even be talking about that he wrote Reuven Ben on the right side, and he wrote Yaakov Eid on the left side. Pat udiyadina ba'chasim d'alav Yaakov. We know that that signature is not Yaakov. We know it's rather the son of Yaakov. We know that when it's the same guy. We know that Reuben ben and Yaakov ate. We know who Yaakov is. We know that's not his signature, so it can't be Yaakov. So it must be, and that's what we're saying, only the right one's kosher, is it's Reuben, the son of Yaakov, who he's signing his father's name, and that's what only the right one's kosher, and not the left one. But the Gemara continues to ask, as we continue on to Amud Beis, V'dima b'shma davu chasim. Maybe you're right. Obviously, it's not Yaakov. It's Reuben, the son of Yaakov. Now, so that's why when it says Reuben ben Yaakov, it's obviously the same person. So the first one's kosher, because that's where he started signing. But what the Gemara wants to know is that maybe the second one is also should be kosher, because he was using his father's name to sign. And he was actually signing on both of them. Reuben, he wrote in on the right side, Ben. And then Yaakov, when it says Yaakov, is saying he's just using his father's name to sign on the left side. So let's say if it said Ben Yaakov, or he's saying Yaakov. Thing is, so we know it's not Yaakov, but even though it's only his father's name, that itself should say that it's going to be kosher, where he's using that as a signature to use his father's name. He's using his father's name as a signature. So I think Moshe says, no, Leishavik in the Shmei b'chasim Shma Davu, a person would not leave his own name and sign his father's name as a signature. So it must be that he's not just signing individually on the second get by just using his father's name. So what is he saying here if we know it's not the father? Or if let's say it didn't say aid, must be it's a continuation of what he wrote from the first get, and it's not a separate signature on the second get. But the Gemara still asks on this. So good, a person wouldn't just use his father's name. Let's say his name is really Reuben. He wouldn't just sign Yaakov, which is his father's name. But V'dilma simana shavya. Maybe, yeah, he wouldn't use his father's name as his father's signature for his own signature, but maybe he actually uses his father's name as a sign. Where, as we find the Harav Tzair Kavra, Rav wouldn't sign his name. Rather, he would draw a fish for as a signature, and he wouldn't write his name. So to Rav Chanina Charusa, he would just draw a branch of a palm tree. Rav Chizda Samach, Rav Chizda would just draw a Samach. Rav Hoshea Ayin, he would just make an Ayin. Rabbi Rav Huna Tzair Makusa, he would draw a mast of a ship. Again, because these are just signs, instead of signing their name, they would just draw this thing, and that was the indicative as a sign that this was their signature. So maybe this Reuven, you're right, it just says his father's name, and he wouldn't sign with the father's name, but maybe it's not a signature, maybe it's just a sign that this is who I am, and everyone knows that I'm Reuven because I use my father's name as a sign that that's me. So maybe therefore both getting should be kasher. So I think Moshe says, loy chotzef inish. Person wouldn't have the audacity, l'shavi l'shma davu esimana, to make his father's name as a sign. Yes, a fish or a samach, that people would make as a sign, but a father's name, that much respect people have, and therefore again, it must be that it's not, we know it's not Yaakov, and therefore, who is it? It's the son, and the son wouldn't use it as a sign, so again, it must be just an extension of what he wrote on the first get, just which you know, just person kept on writing on the line, which went under the second get, and that's what only the first get's kosher, and not the second get. Fine. So we know it can't be from the first set of witnesses itself, Shekasher the left get. But the Gemara asks, as we alluded to in the Mishnah, but V'leskasher hai b'shnei edim ivrim. Let the right get be kosher with the first two witnesses signed, which are the Hebrew writing witnesses, which obviously started underneath the right get, which was where their name was written, and just their father's name extended underneath the left get. But V'leskasher hai b'shnei edim yivanim. Let the left get be kosher with the next set of witnesses, which were the Greek writing witnesses, which their names are beneath the left get, as we said, where even if they write Yesu ben Shimon, just like the Hebrew writing ones, but actually Shimon, which is not their father's name, is their own name, is written under the left get. Now, Ditnan, as we learned in our coming Mishnah, get shekisavi ivris, even if a get, the text of the writing of the get itself, which harayit materis l'chaladim, whatever it says in the get, even if it was written in Hebrew, the aid of Yavanis and the witnesses are writing in Greek, or the other way around, Yavanis for aid of ivris. So let's say the text of the get was written in Greek and the witnesses are signed in Hebrew, kosher is going to be kosher. So what's the problem by having Greek signing witnesses on the left side of the second get? Let the second get be kosher. Now, and if you're going to say kivin de mufling, since the signing of the witnesses, these Greek witnesses, are separated from the text of the second get, bishnei shitin, by the two lines which we had, there were two lines that were taken up by the width of these of this megillah, of this scroll, which have these two columns, these two gittin. And as we said, that the first witnesses, their father's name extend underneath the left get. So you have these two lines of these two witnesses that are separating between the witnesses, the Greek witnesses, and the second get. that then loy, that then therefore that's why it's not going to be kosher the second get, because as Rashi actually amplifies the question, as we learned in Paraget Pasha Masechta Baba Basra, that says that if there's distance between the witnesses signing and the writing of the text of the get by a space of two lines, it's going to be puzzle. On that the Gemara says, but that shouldn't be a problem. Because Va'amah Chizki explains over there in Baba Basra that in Miluhu, if that space was filled in, even Bekravim, even with non-kosher witnesses, even if they were just relatives, kosher, then the get is going to be kosher based on the two kosher witnesses, because the only thing that we were bothered over there was not for signatures, but rather empty space, which as Rashi draws a precedent in Halacha, where we find the Halachas of Sukkah, for example, where empty space actually invalidates even just three tfachim, where Schach Pasel only invalidates it with a larger area of four tfachim. So too, where the empty space of two lines would invalidate, but if let's say you fill it in with non-kosher witnesses, would not invalidate it, because that's only a problem with empty space. So the question is, so why isn't the left get being kosher through the Greek witnesses, where there's no empty space because it was actually taken up by the first pair of witnesses going on the right get? The left get should be kosher from the two Greek witnesses. So that the Gemara answers, you're right. Hatani Zeiri actually taught in his interpretation of the halacha of our Mishnah, regarding these two gittin, that Shnei and Kesherim, they're actually both kosher. Because, as we explained, you have the two Hebrew-speaking writing witnesses that are saying the right one's kosher, and you have two Greek writing witnesses that are saying the left one's kosher. Now, Betana Didan, but the Tana of our Mishnah that said that actually the second get is going to be pasul, or the later one, whichever one it is, if you have the Greeks first and the left one's kosher and the right one's pasul, is because Dilma Gundalis Chasam. He was concerned that maybe the Greeks are going to write in what's called Gundalis, which means to say that maybe they're going to write it not the way they usually do. Rather, they're going to follow the pattern of the witnesses signed on top of them, where in the case of our Mishnah's case was where the Hebrew-speaking witnesses signed first, who, since they write, when they write Shimon ben Yosef, it's their name that's Shimon, the son of Yosef, so maybe we're concerned that maybe they're going to follow them. And they're also going to write their name under the right and their father's name under the left. What's going to come out is v'kulu achad. It's going to come out that all of them are going to be signed, are on one of them, meaning on the first one is hu dechasimi. That's what they're all going to be signing on. Rashi just explains that whenever it's not done in the normal way, it's called gundalis. Like it brings from the Chubas Aga'inim, that someone that uses his left hand, that's in certain places are called gundala, because he's changing from the way that's normally done. So the concern of the Tana of a Mishnah is you're right, seemingly it should be kosher. But although usually Yosef ben Shimon, in the Greek, Shimon is the son's name, which is the witness, is signed under the left one, maybe in this case they imitated the Hebrew-speaking ones on top of them, which their own names were first on under the right one, and maybe they're going to do the same, although they usually do the other way. They're looking and saying, oh, I see he wrote his name, I know his name, he wrote his name under the right one and his father's name on the left one, and he's going to do the same. That we have to be concerned for. So maybe there's actually four witnesses on the right one and none on the left one. That's why we're going to say that although Ziri says the kosher, the Tana of Mishnah says the last one, whoever is imitating the witnesses on top of him, however he does it, that's going to say the second get, whoever the second pair of witnesses are going to be pasul. Now then the Seif of Mishnah said, let's say for this first two set of witnesses, one's Hebrew writing and then there's a Greek writing, and then you have another pair of witnesses, Hebrew and Greek, then we said actually both get an apostle. So the Gemara asks, why? Let the one on the right be kosher with one Hebrew and one Greek writing. Let the left one, again, as we described the case in the Mishnah according to Rashi, where essentially you really have two sets of witnesses writing on the right one and two sets of witnesses writing on the left one, even though one's Hebrew, one's Greek, where the Hebrew one wrote his name first on the left one and then extended his father's name to the right one, where although he writes Yosef ben Shimon, Yosef is written at the edge of the line under the left get, and then ben Shimon's on the right one, and so too the Greek one did it the regular way, which is having his name under the left one. So that's what the Gemara's question is. So then why shouldn't they both be kosher? They both have two witnesses, just one's Yevani and one's Ivri, because that's not, we learn in the coming Mishnah, Eid Echad Ivri ve'Echad Yevani kosher. That's not a problem. You could have, for the get itself, to have one Hebrew writing witness and one Greek writing witness. So what's the problem? So the Gemara says, you're right. Hatani Ziri also taught regarding this halacha of the Mishnah that Shneim Kesherim, they're both kosher. Because essentially, you really have two witnesses signed on each one. And there's no space problems, as we said, because it's filled up with writing. Now, but the Tana of our Mishnah was concerned regarding the Greek writing witnesses. that Dilma Gundalas Chasim. Maybe one of them are not going to sign in the way that they usually do. In other words, maybe, let's say, for example, the first Greek writing witness signed the way the Hebrew writing witness who signed on top of him, maybe he did the same, because actually they're both writing on the same get. So the Hebrew guy writes, and then he writes too. So maybe we have to be concerned that maybe he wrote his name first, which is on the left side. Then he wrote, as the Hebrew usually does it, then he wrote his father's name. So it comes out that his name is written on the second get, because he wrote his name first and then his father's name on the right side. So there you have his name on the left get. Now, now what you have over here is that the second Hebrew writing person, he, we see that, yes, as we explained the Mishnah, he's written on the second get, because he wrote also the same pattern, actually, like the first Yevani, who wrote his name first on the left and then his second name on the right. The Hebrew one did that, which that makes sense. That's his name is written first. That's on the left get. And so too, the second Greek did the same thing. So that would come out that v'tlosa achad, you can have three on one, v'chad achad, and one on only and one on the other one. Because in this case, the way we just described, you can have three on the second get, and only one on the first one, because only the first Hebrew one writing was the one that wrote on the right get. That's one version. Or maybe actually the first Greek signing witness signed the way he usually does, which is going to be kosher, because you have he's also signed now on the right get. So you have the Ivri wrote the way he usually does, and then you have the Yevani who wrote it the way he usually does, which is he has Reuven ben Shimon, and that pattern would actually have his name under the right one. We're saying that he wrote first his name on the edge of the line. That's where he started, and then he wrote on the second half on the second. So the first version's concern was, yeah, although that normally would make it that his name would be under the right one, maybe here he actually switched because he saw the Hebrew guy writing his name first. Maybe he wrote his name first on the edge of the line, which would make it under the second get, which again would have three on the second get. Now we're saying that, let's say even the first Greek wrote it, Reuven ben Shimon, and he did it the way he usually does as a Greek, which is having his name second, which is going to be under the right one. And the problem would be in the second Greek person, maybe he signed Gundalas, which is like he saw like the Hebrew people writing before him, which had their name on the right side. So then maybe he's going to do the same thing, and he's going to write in one line, and he's going to have his name on the right. So it's going to come out that you have two Greeks and one Hebrew that are signing on the first one and on the second get, which is only going to be only one witness, which is the second Hebrew. And therefore, that's why both of them are going to be possible, because we have to be concerned. We don't know. Maybe one of the Greeks made a mistake and did Gundalas, which is imitating the Hebrew guy signing on top of him, which is having his name first, which again, the way the second Greek is writing in one line and the first Greek is signing, starting at the second line, going to the first line. Now, if they do it the way they normally do, everything's going to be kosher. The problem is maybe they're going to mix up and do their name first, which again, regarding the first Greek, making his name first is problematic because then he's going to be on the second get together with the next two who are also on the second get. Or maybe it's going to be the second Greek making a mistake where he's writing in one line instead of having, as he usually does, his name last, which would be under the second get as it should be in this case. Maybe he actually put his name first, which would make three on the right, one on the left. So since we don't know, maybe either one of the Greeks messed up. Therefore, we say that both Gittin are going to be possible in this case. Where, again, although Ziri said that actually the halacha should be kosher because you really have two on the right, two on the left, but the Tanna of Mishnah is concerned for Gundalas. Now we continue with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme about where is the placing of the signatures of the witnesses in the get. So the Mishnah says as follows. Shayer mixes a get. Let's say someone's writing the text of a get, and he left over part of the text. V'ksavei b'daf hashen, and he wrote on the next column, meaning next to it on the width on the same scroll. V'eid m'mata, and then the witness is assigned beneath the second column. So then it's going to be kosher. Now, the Mishnah moves on to another halacha. Chasamei eidim b'reish adaf. Let's say witness is signed on the top of the page, or minatzad on the side, meaning on either margin, on the right margin or the left margin, or me'achrav, or on the back, beget pashid, in what's known as a regular open get, which there the halacha is that the witnesses are supposed to sign inside, again, in contrast to what's called a get mekusher, where there they sign on the outside and the folded part. So then in any of these cases, pasul is going to be pasul, the witnesses have to sign inside on the bottom. Now, the Mishnah moves on to related case. Hikif. If let's say it was combined, it was joined together. Reisha shel zeh b'tzad reisha shel zeh. There's two gittin are written on the same scroll, where they're attached by the head. Meaning from this part onward was written downward one direction, and the other one was written downward the other direction. Ve'edim be'emtzen. The witness is signed in middle between the two heads of these gittin. Shnei besulin, they're both going to be pasul again because neither one of them are read together where it ends with the witnesses signed on the bottom of either one of them because they're both on the top of both of them, so they're both not kosher. Let's say seifer shel zeh b'tzad seifer shel zeh. Let's say the edges meet where it ends and the other one also ends in the same spot. Ve'edim emtza, and the witnesses are in the middle. So then the halacha is esha edim nikrimai, so the one that the witnesses are read with it, meaning that the top of the letters of the witnesses are connecting to the writing of the words before that, the way it's usually signed, where you have the writing and then the witnesses are signed beneath that, kasher, that's the one that's going to be kasher. But the other one that ends there and then the legs are facing each other, that's the one that's going to be pasul. Let's say reisha shel zeh b'tzad seifer shel zeh. Let's say you have, where it's one run on, you have one get, space, and another get. Ve'edim emtza, and the witnesses are signed in the middle. So they're also esha edim nikrim b'seifer, the one that the witnesses are read at the edge, where the top of the letters of the witnesses are towards the end of the one written before it, not to the top of the, not where the legs of the signatures are towards the top of the get before it, that's going to be kosher. The one that's kosher is, again, the one that's written at the edge of the one that was written before it, not the beginning of the next one. Now the Mishnah moves on to another halacha. Get shekesavi ivris ve'edis yivanis, like we just mentioned this halacha before, a get that was written in, let's say, in Hebrew lettering, but the witnesses sign in Greek. Or Yevanis ve'edav ivris, so let's say it was written in Greek and the witness signed in Hebrew. Or let's say edechet ivri ve'edechet yevani, even if one witness signed in Hebrew and one signed in Greek. Or let's say kas ksav sefer ve'ed, different halacha. Let's say if you only have one witness signed, but together with that one witness signed, you have the writing of the scribe, so those are two people. Kasher, the get's going to be kasher. Another halacha the Mishnah tells us, if let's say regarding the signing of the witnesses, he wrote ish pleni ed, he wrote his name, is a witness, that's going to be kosher for a signature of a witness. Let's say, and we also mentioned these halachas before, ben ish pleni eid, let's say he signed, the son of that man is the witness, so that's also kosher. And ish pleni ben ish pleni, let's say he just wrote Reuven the son of Shimon, but like kosher eid, he didn't even write the word eid, witness, that's also going to be kosher. And the Mishnah tells us, v'kachoy niki hadas shebi Yerushalayim oisin, that's how those of cleanliness of intellect in Yerushalayim, that's the way they used to do. In other words, they would choose to do in the most abridged version as possible, and therefore they wouldn't write the word aid, they would just write Reuben, the son of Shimon, the person's name and the son of his father, because it wasn't necessary to write aid, and therefore they wouldn't write what was superfluous, what wasn't necessary. And finally, the Mishnah ends off, Kasav Chanechasa Bachanechasa, if they write his surname and her surname, meaning the family name, kasher, that's going to be kasher. Now the Gemara asks on the halacha of the reisha. I mean, regarding the case of when we said, if let's say that he was writing the text of the get, and he left over part of the text, and continued on the second column. So we said that that's going to be kasher. And that the Gemara asks, let's be concerned as follows. Let's say that actually these were two totally complete separate gets, the one written in the right column, and the one written on the left column. How so? So Rashi explains. The left get was actually written much higher in the scroll than the get on the right, until it actually reached the point that ve'isrami le'zman de kama, that where the dating was for the first get, was ve'edin de baser, was where the witnesses were for the second get. In other words, that when we're saying the edim of the second one, it means to say where the ending is, because the witnesses always signed by the ending, was actually opposite, was parallel to the beginning of the first one, because when we say the zman de kama, the dating of the first one, that means to say the beginning. That's where you write the date. And Eden de basa, when we say the witnesses of the second one, of the last one, that means its end, because it's on the last lines where the witnesses sign. So therefore, ask the Gemara, maybe these were two totally separate gittin. Now, v'gazye l'zman de basa, maybe this guy, what he did was that he cut off the date of the last one, I mean the top half of the second one, the edim de kama, and he cut off the bottom half, the witnesses of the first one. Now, the reason why this guy did it, meaning maybe let's say the one whose it was his get was the one on the right side, maybe there was actually some stipulations there on that get, and he didn't want to have to fulfill those stipulations. So what he did was is that he cut off the beginning of the second get, and he equated, he perfected it, that it came out exactly where the words were ending on that line of the first one to be to match up exactly to where the lines were in the beginning of the second one where he had cut that off the top half. And then what he's ended up actually divorcing her is with actually two halves of two different gittin, and the witnesses actually never even signed on his get. They only signed on the second get, which was a totally different get. So how are you saying that it's kosher in this case when it's you continue to another column? Maybe it's actually two different gittin, and they cut off the second half of the first one and the first half of the second one, and they matched them up. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Baba, Amar Rav. Kesher yesh revach malmata, we're talking about where there was actually space beneath the bottom of the margin of the first one, where obviously nothing was cut off because we see nothing more was written. It was empty space. So we know that it didn't cut off to match it to the cutting off of the second one. But the Gemara still asks. But Vidilma, maybe that actually his get was never finished. Maybe he started writing his get on the right side. And he changed his mind. He says, you know what? I'm not gonna finish it off yet. I don't know if I'm gonna divorce it yet. Now, however, on the side, on the top, was actually written a totally different full-fledged get, which was written and signed on it. Then, at a later point in time, he changed his mind and he decided to divorce her. So maybe Zimnan de Basra, Zman de Basra, Megas Gaias. Maybe what he did was, is that, you're right, his was never finished. But then all he did was he cut off the top of this of the first half of the second one. So then he matched up where he had stopped in middle. You're right, there's empty space. So he never cut off the bottom of the first one. But maybe because he never finished. And maybe that he just matched up to finish off his get, which was ready for a full-fledged written one of the second one. And therefore maybe it's not the witnesses that are signed and not actually on his get, which he had written, which he stopped in middle, that, yeah, then he matched it up for the second one, where he cut off the top of the second one. So the Gemara says the same type of answer. Could the Amir Baba Merav, like he just said before, that Kishyesh Revach Mamata, we're not concerned that you cut off the second half of the first one because there's empty space. So as we continue on top of Peches Menalev, Hachinam Kishyesh Revach Mamala, here also we're talking about that there's empty space on top of the second one, where obviously nothing more was written that you said was cut off. So that's how we know that we don't have to be concerned that maybe there was any cutoffs here matching up because each one has empty space. Now, the Gemara asks a different question. But so fine. We know you didn't cut off the bottom half of the first one, top half of the second one. But v'dilmei imluchi imlach. Maybe he changed his mind. Maybe in the beginning, he decided, no, I'm not going to divorce her. Then at a later point in time, he decided, no, I am going to divorce her. And then v'kasav, and then only later did he write the second half, and it comes out that the first one is batal because it wasn't written together. Or as Rashi explains it, that essentially would be what's called nechtem bayayim, but nechtem lachazman, where it was written on one day and signed on a different day, because this was written, the first half written long time ago. Then he stopped halfway, and then at a later point in time he decided, okay, let me finish it up, and then he had witnesses sign on it, where it wasn't written and signed on the same day. Now Rashi explained the point of the Gemara's question is because of the Gemara's answer that said that there's space on the bottom of the first one, there's space on top of the second column, so it seemingly seems like that there was some type of a gap. Because usually when you write, you don't leave any empty spaces, you just finish it up and you fill it in. From here there was just written halfway and then with space and then another column space, so it gives the appearance almost like at a later point in time he decided to fill it in. Now that would be problematic. So that itself should say possible, meaning you're describing the case of how we understand it only that we're not concerned because there's space in the columns, but that should create a different halachic problem, which is that then maybe we should be considering that maybe it was only finished up at a later point in time, which would make the get puzzle. So that the Gemara answers, no, you're right, we're addressing this concern too, it's not a problem, why? The chasav harei at milmata umiteres mamala, because actually mid-sentence, where, yeah, although there's empty space, so we know there was no cutoffs, but the second column begins in the middle of a sentence, which is what's called harei at miteres l'chaladim, you are permitted to every single person, which is a primary line in the text of the get. Harei at was written on the bottom of the last column of the first column, and then Muteris was written on the top of the second column, whereas Rashi explains in the middle of a sentence, no one's going to stop and change his mind, he's just going to finish up the word L'chol Adam, and then he'll change his mind, then he won't finish it up. So therefore, that's how we know that if we see that connects and continues it, so that's why we don't have to be concerned that he had stopped. Now, the Gemara asked, but B'dilma Yisrami, like maybe it did happen, maybe in mid-sentence, maybe he did, and maybe we should be concerned for that. The Gemara says, "Kol ha'ar l'chashim." We don't have to be concerned that much to say that maybe that happened when it doesn't make sense that a person would stop in mid-sentence. So therefore, again, that's one interpretation in the halacha of our Mishnah that we said, why is the kasher going to a second column? Maybe that it was matched up. So we said, no, because there's empty space in the bottom of the first one, there's empty space on top of the second one, and moreover, the sentence was, harei at, and then on the top said muteras, where for sure, that wasn't at a later point in time. Ravashi Yama, he says, all the questions that were asked could be addressed with the following concept. The idea bay, mitachta the megilta, you know it because of the outside, the perimeter of the scroll, where it's obvious from the pressing. Mitachta is from the beticha saklaf, which is the margin of the parchment from around the get. Because what this is addressing is, it's obvious that there was no more parchment. I mean, even if the word goes all the way to the bottom, you know that there was no more part of it, not above or not bottom, because it's obvious from the edges, where the edge of the parchment is black and thick, where you know that nothing was cut away over there, because that's how those who make parchment, they make it with stones around to press it down of the parchment, and that's how it's always made. So you know that that's how it was originally made and that nothing was cut off at a later point in time. So therefore, that addresses all the questions about cutting off. Now, as Rashi explains, it must be Ravashi's answer is talking about that there is no empty space where then you can't add, because then you would still ask the question about imluchi imlach. Maybe it changes mind at a later point in time. So there's no empty space. It actually goes down to the bottom. But then the question would be, if there's no empty space, then we have the questions which were asked that maybe it's cut off. He said, no, it's no cutting off, because you could tell the scroll when it's made, the parchment is made where it's pressed down, you know the edges have that darkened look. And therefore, yeah, we would know it was cut actually if it didn't have the darkened look. And here it has the darkened look. We know it wasn't cut off. That's why we don't have these concerns. And again, that's why the halacha of the Mishnah is correct. Where again, that even if it's two different columns and then the witness is assigned beneath that second column, it's going to be kosher again, either because it's talking about that there's empty space and that it's a mid-sentence, or because actually it's not, there's no empty space. And this doesn't have to be a mid-sentence, but we know it wasn't cut off because of the way that the parchment is made.